The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today is believe it or not, it's 1:37 here in Albany, but today is the 7th of March, if you can believe it, 2017. And go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the two free ebooks. Obviously, all we need is your email address and take them away. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Andrew Derniat on, and like a lot of the people that have been regulars on here over, well, especially in the last year, a lot of them are just coming on for the first time, and that's mainly because, as I've said in other shows, we're in the process of putting out three brand new products. I'm going to find out today. It looks like we're going to be launching everything on the 14th of this month. We've already got the pages up. They're not totally finished because I got to give Chris dates of everything, so they look phenomenal, and there's going to be an awful lot coming down the road, believe me. So we're trying to secure our future here. Well, no, there is no trying. We are, and this is what we've been working on. So as things get rolling and we start generating some cash, obviously we're going to be doing more and more podcasts, and we're going with the idea I'm going to be lifting stones out in Iceland, Scotland, and Wales before the end of this year. That starts happening, we're going to be talking a lot about it. We might even be offering a trip here to go with us. That would be Martin Janzik and myself. More to come on that. You know, big dreams, man. That's what it's all about. Also, too, before I bring Andrew in, I've been doing this a lot with different books, and I get a lot of great feedback on it. And I'm only going to read about four lines, but I've been hitting on this book like crazy lately. It's Of Stones and Strength, Steve Jack and the late Peter Martin. And I read this passage, well, I read this whole chapter every morning and every night. I'm going to memorize this to the point where I'm not going to need to open the book. And it's chapter 33, The Sons of Sisyphus, and I'm reading from page 107. It goes like this. It is at the foot of the mountain that men are proven. Here a man must choose to take up his stone or surrender his dream. No assurance of victory is given, and yet, like Sisyphus, one must conclude, the struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. I'm going to read this one more time. The struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Think about that, everybody, and I'm going to give you some information on Andrew, and I can't wait to hear Andrew's comment on that. Let me, you know what? I didn't even bring that up. Shame on me. It'll take me 1 second, everybody. I just think right now we've been talking about the struggle with air lately. Even we had Andrew's good friend who trains at Andrew's gym, Jake Reynolds, on here for the first time today. And I read that same passage with Jake, and we talked a little bit about that. And, you know, he was of the same accord of me. It's like, nothing's going to come easy. That's the way things are. And when you go after things like, you know, a 400-pound overhead press or a 500-pound squat or a 400-pound stone, or like Andrew will tell us a little bit, we were talking about the topic today, you know, get out in the middle of the woods somewhere and then see if you can get yourself back. You know, that I don't care what anybody says, that could drive the strongest of personalities to madness. And this is what we're all talking about here. It's just, it's incredible stuff. But I'm going to give you some information on Andrew. I just pulled that up. What's going on here? Here we go. Number one, he's the owner of DerniatStrength.com. He's one of the top grip guys in the world and a world top ranked all-around lifter. And not only that, go out to, if you're not on Facebook, you should really grab on to Andrew Derniat. Go out and look at the stuff this guy does. It's phenomenal stuff, and he really lives life, man, and he's not afraid to go out and do other things. You know, I know a lot of guys that lift weights, stones, and everything else, and they're really, I would say, they don't have the confidence or they're afraid to, like, step out of what they're good at. That's something we all need to do, and it really is a life lesson. I'm going to bring Andrew in momentarily, but we're going to talk about laying the mitt on yourself, meaning self-motivation. I gave you a little bit of a clue to that. Andrew, Happy New Year. Welcome back to the show, my friend. It's an honor to have you back.
Always a pleasure, Eric. Look forward to it all the time, so it's good to be back.
Thank you. All right, what did I miss? Give out anything I missed on your bio. If there's any other websites, what you got coming up. And we're going to start in self-motivation, if you would, please.
Yeah, no, I was super psyched to, be talking about self-motivation and like you said, laying the mitt on yourself because, in this world of lifting that we take part in, it truly does come down to the self.
Yeah.
It's you and the weight, you and the objective. You either pass or you fail.
Mm-hmm.
is truly where it comes down to, and it comes down, and that ultimate objective is a manifestation of your process and what you did in preparation for that ultimate test.
Yep.
And if you have, to go with the topic, been self-motivated to train diligently over time, then that ultimate goal can be reached. And it's something I've really got on a lot of people, here at the gym and some new clients is, we live in this age of Instagram and Facebook, and it's great and you can be inspired by that, but we need to understand and recognize what it took to reach that pinnacle, that height.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the Arnold Sports Festival was just this past weekend.
Right.
And Jerry Pritchett, I don't know if you saw, he set the world record deadlift.
Yep.
At 1,031 pounds.
Yep.
I remember watching some of Jerry's first pro shows back in L.A. I want to say this is 2010, 2011, with Ode Hagen, and he was just – he was still technically an amateur, but Ode let any amateur that was willing to pay the entry fee come out and compete against the pros.
Yep.
Jerry was one of those guys.
Yep.
And at the time, it was like, man, what is he doing here? Like, he doesn't have his technical pro card. But what Jerry had was that just determination to say, no, I am here.
Yep.
I'm going to hold myself accountable, and I'm going to get it done.
Yep.
And then to watch now 7 years later him set a world record on the biggest stage in all of strength.
Yep.
Was amazing. And, I sent him a message just being like, dude, I remember watching you struggle with a 700-pound deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
Out at one of Ode's shows.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is setting the record.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about somebody that's laid the mitt on himself and kept himself accountable to get the job done. You gotta, celebrate that tremendously, and it was awesome to see. And that's on the strength side of things. We talked about it beforehand, and you mentioned it about go out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Some of my exploits lately have been doing some mountain climbing. I've been up in the high peaks of New York, up in the Lake Placid area, and took a buddy of mine out there, and we had done one of these go-ruck, adventure things. And it was, it's a 12, 13-hour thing. But, we're in downtown Cleveland, and, everybody, you got your cell phone there.
Oh, yeah.
You need to call for help. And it's, it's a fun little thing to do. And they challenge you. They get you outside your comfort zone. But one of the things my buddy said was, at any time, if he wanted to go home, he could have just pulled out his phone and within 5 minutes had a cab.
Yep.
And somebody could take him home some warm hot chocolate and a nice hot shower.
Yep.
And so, he's like, hey, we need to do this again. I was like, hold up, let's go to the mountains and I'll take you on a real adventure.
Yep.
So we went up and we did three of the high peaks, and we got out to Mount Marcy. And Marcy's about, I think the closest road is about 8 to 10 miles away.
Yep.
And we're on top of the tallest peak in the state of New York. It tops out at like 5,244 or something like that. And we're out there, and he looks at me, and he goes, he's like, I was dead tired.
Yep.
He's like, but it all of a sudden dawned on me that there was nobody that was going to save me or get me home other than myself.
Yep.
He's like, man, we did that go ruck. It was tough. He's like, but I knew I could be home in 5 minutes.
Yep.
He's like, out there, he's like, it's hours before I could get home.
Yep.
He's like, you want to talk about motivation? And I was like, yeah, it's kind of scary. I was like, you know, fear can be a good motivator in that sense.
Sure can. Yep.
Because people are like, oh, are you ever scared? I'm like, yeah, but, you know, if you acknowledge fear and scared and being scared and acknowledge it, accept it, and move forward, it can be a good thing. It's not something if you're scared and you stop and you sit down and ball up.
Yep.
Then fear is deadly, and you need to avoid that. But I like to say you use fear as a motivator.
Yeah.
Fear can motivate you to go forward. And, you know, the classic example of that is take a dog and put it in a corner and corner it.
Oh, yeah.
That dog will be scared, but you know what it's going to do?
Yeah.
The beast is going to come out, and it's going to go right for you, and it's going to go right through you.
Yep.
So with lifting and physical culture, you know, those stones that you're going after, you have respect for them, and in a way, it's like, man, this stone could crush me.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to prepare myself diligently and attack that stone and have success.
Yep.
And go forth.
Well, you know, it claimed one bicep, you know, but you talk, and it had nothing to do with fear that day. That's when you lifted incorrectly, in my opinion. And as I always say, I'll say Steve Jack's line, I'll shoulder the responsibility, because I've never run away from my responsibility or my commitments. But I totally agree with you, especially like where you were in the mountains. I'm very familiar with that, being a New Yorker. You can get in predicaments and situations where if you do ball up, like you said, you could die very easily. Fear can be a positive, and fear can be the biggest negative, because you and I both know the majority of failures in the world are from fear. And, you know, fear's self-taught. You're not born with fear. Yeah. There's two things that you're born with: falling and loud noises. That's about it. The rest is all self-learned. And if you can learn it, how come you can't unlearn it? Now, and you got to look at it on both sides. I don't know if I'd call it fear, but you and I both know. You go into a big meet, you're going to lift something big, there's people all around you. That's what I was saying to Jake today when we were talking about, people ask him how he, you know, can lift so much overhead, or why he's such a good front squatter and all this stuff. And he says, I literally tell people the exact routines I'm doing, and they kind of look at me, and then he goes, I'll see him again. And I equate a lot of this to fear and too much hard work, is they'll see some pro strongman and they'll be doing his. Now, this makes no sense to me, because when you're in the presence of an actual athlete that are moving monster numbers, especially at a guy that's 230 pounds, and he will set records, you can bet on it. You know, he will beat any record. I get just the way he talks, and I've seen him on video. I'll never understand that, but I do understand the social media. I do understand how most of these guys and girls, I'm not going to lay it all on the guys, they only show you their best. Where here, I don't care if you see me fail a million times. It doesn't matter to me anymore, because anybody that's got any realism in themselves or authentic are going to fail. Anybody, I don't care, and you're going to fail miserably a lot of times, all right? You're going to have more. I'll go right to you in one moment. You're going to have more failures than you are going to have triumphs, everybody. But It's when you get to that triumph, all those failures, man, they, it just built and built and built to the point where here I am. Now, you want to talk about self-motivation? Holy cow. I'll tell you self-motivation, then I'll get right to you, Andrew. I talked a few weeks ago. It's gotten warm here again, then it's below zero. This past weekend, it was probably the coldest of the winter. After a few days before that, we had 70-degree days. I don't like any of that. It doesn't feel right. The house is too hot, et cetera, et cetera. But if it's a training day, it's a training day. And I was out there. We had like two big snowstorms in 1 week. And I was out for the second one. And I had to lift stones that day. And we probably had a foot of snow. And I don't shovel the back part of the driveway when I'm going to do that because, as everybody knows, it'd be too slippery no matter what you lay down on it. So this way I can get probably three good runs with the stone, go as far as I want to go that day, and if I drop it or fall, I'm not going to get hurt. It's powdered snow. But after three or four runs max, everything is smoothed out and it gets very icy and there's nowhere to go. So there I am out there, you know, and I know the rest of the world's inside, and I'm out, sunny, of course, a little bit too, now and then, but we've got a wind advisory, and I'm not exaggerating. The wind was hitting me so hard in the face at times, I had to stop and wait for the tears literally to drain from my face. And it wasn't only tears, it was all that water my face was absorbing. If you know anything about that, it gets in your eyes, you're blind pretty much. You can't see, man. So here's the choice. Have to drop the stone again in the snow and pick it up again and restart it. Well, I had to do that multiple times, man. And when you're talking a 250, 300-pound stone, I don't give a damn how strong you are. You got to pick that up like 5, 6, 10 times. The 11th time, it might not come off the ground again. You're done. You shot your load for the day. So that was one of the things I had to contend with. I did only 50 feet up and back. Three rounds like that, and I was shot, man, because just think of the resistance of a foot or more. I'll tell you where it was. It was up to mid-shin almost. Do you know what kind of resistance that is when you're carrying a 250-pound loaded stone steel? And here's another thing. This is what I like. When it's that cold and it's that snowy and you wear a flannel shirt or something to stay warm, there is nothing in the world that's going to hold that stone other than your forearms. That stuff turns into, your shirts turn into talc, literally. So what I want to say, and I'm coming right to you, brother. Here it is. I'm not bragging either. But do you know how much self-motivation I needed just to get three rounds that would have went easy when it was, say, 40 out, even 30, clear? It would have been nothing. That weight and that resistance in that snow, I swear to God, I felt like I was dragging a 1,000-pound, let's just say a baby elephant behind me. That was how intense it was. But I would not, and I repeat, I would not give up. I would have stayed out there all afternoon if it meant dropping that thing and dragging it by hand back, other than, and I would not concede. So that is self-motivation, but I'm going to top that with a few other words. This is the stuff when you go up in the mountains. This is the stuff when you compete against, quote-unquote, the cream of the crop. This is the stuff when I had nobody pushing me, no one screaming my name, nobody loading this big monster steel stone, and nobody telling me, okay, just come a couple more feet. No, it was all on me. This is how you build a champion. It's all yours, brother.
Yeah, no, that story, you lifting that stone, brings back memories of myself. I had a, I still have, it's not that I had. I have a field stone, it's a 220-pound field stone that I pulled out of my grandmother's backyard.
Yep.
And I remember when I first got it back to my apartment, the gym was a half mile away from my house. And I remember telling myself, I'm going to walk, it was like, screw putting this thing in a truck and driving it to the gym. I'm going to walk it to the gym.
Yep.
And so when you started saying, yeah, you got to pick this 250-pound stone up,
yep,
you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 times, I remember that half-mile walk with that 220-pound field stone very well. It took me 45 minutes to walk a half mile.
Oh.
And it was because I'd walk, you know, couple – you know, maybe 50 yards.
Yeah.
Drop the stone.
Yep.
Every time you drop that stone, you got to pick that stone back up.
Yep.
And sure, the first couple times it's fun and you're like, yeah, I'm having a good time. And then you get, like you said, you get to 8, 9, and 10.
Yep.
And the pain starts to set in. Your forearms are bleeding.
Yep.
Hands are bleeding. You're probably, you know, your chest, and you've got bruises and blood coming out of places you didn't realize.
Yep.
Because that field stone's going to tear you up every time you touch it. The ground's uneven because it's not a well-worn path. There's no sidewalk, and you're just going. But that motivation, you know, gets back to sort of the goal setting.
Yeah.
And you know, the big-time lifters, the best athletes out there, you know, they're setting lofty goals for themselves. I mean, you know, they're not going after something easy, and because easy's been done.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can do the easy. If you want to set yourself apart and you want to be, you want to call yourself something special, you better do something special. Because anybody can be average and go out there and lift average weights. But I love when we do our yearly gym goals and people put up lofty goals.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you want people to go, you know, that's nuts. You're crazy. Well, then that's what I'm going for. I'm not going for something easy.
Right.
I want to challenge myself. I want to push myself outside of my comfort zone and scare myself a little bit with a date that says, on this date, I'm, you know, at a competition, you've got a date set in stone that says, I'm going to do this.
Yep.
And so, and that can motivate you to get yourself going. But at the same time, you got to be the one that picks yourself up, takes your butt to the gym, loads the bar, gets under it, and does the work. Because nobody else is going to do that for you. And, you know, we see guys all the time. It's like, man, you know, we've had different people come and go and be training partners with different individuals. But it's, you know, everybody wants to be the highlight, and I want to get big.
Yeah.
How many people actually want to put the time in to achieve that amazing goal?
Yeah.
Because you and I both know it take you got to go out there when, it's sleeting and 50-mile-an-hour winds in the middle of winter.
Yep.
But you're going, Iceland is coming up. Those tickets are paid for.
Yep.
I'm going over there. I'm lifting some stones.
Yep.
And guess what? That weather could be just as crappy over in Iceland as it is here now.
Yep.
I might as well get used to it because my time over there is going to be finite, and I'm going to make the most of it.
Yep.
I am not going to, you know, throw away that kind of time just because I want to be comfortable.
Exactly.
And that's something that, you know, I was talking to a couple other guys here at the gym a couple weeks ago, and I was like, listen, guys, I was like, we live in America. Like, our life is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That day for most people is their smartphone or the pizza doesn't work.
Yep.
Or, you know, the line's tied up. Oh, I don't have Wi-Fi.
Yep.
I'm like, come on. Like, give me a break. I was like, suck it up.
Yep.
Your life is easy.
Yep.
I was like, you may think you got a hard life. You don't. I was like, life is easy. We're in a climate-controlled environment right now, lifting barbells that are perfectly balanced.
Yep.
I was like, it ain't that hard. Get to work.
Well, you know what it is? Yeah, but you know what it really is? It boils down to, it's like, you know, Andrew, you've seen him, I've seen him, you'll meet up with, and it doesn't happen a lot. It's just purported differently now because of social media. But you're going to meet one or two people in your life that are really the exception to all the stuff we talk about here, whether it's Olympic lifting, grip, stones, you know, power rack work, whatever. And you're going to meet up with somebody very exceptional like that, and you're going to think to yourself, well, you're going to know, especially you've been around it, when they open your mouth, their mouth, there's going to be something different coming out of it than what we're actually used to hearing from the majority of people. And then you've already probably seen them in action, and you're going to start saying, I get what they've done and why they are the way they are. And this is what, when we're talking about up in the mountains, 8 miles from the road, out in a blinding snowstorm with high winds. They're telling you to stay in, and I'm out there in it. And why? Because I want to see if I can last. I want to see if I can push myself to that point. No matter what I do, I went out there and made a major triumph. And those are the things I believe. Not only is that a measure of self-motivation times 10, but as I said before, this is the stuff when you see these people, whether you know you're at the Arnold this past week or you're just out on the street with a bunch of guys and you're training, or you're up in the middle of nowhere and all trained guys, and then you see the one that just kind of pokes his head out of the hole and you're like, I'm going to watch this guy. There's something special about him. And the next thing you know, you're seeing things happen that you're like, wow, I've only maybe seen this one other time in my lifetime, and what a lesson I'm going to learn here. And that's what I appreciate about people. I've always been a people watcher. Obviously, I love to talk to people. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't. But I'm a guy that loves to observe, especially people that do any type of, I call, rigorous training. Not a lot of the stuff you see in, as Andrew would say, more of the climate controlled areas. I like the people, and I'm talking the authentic ones. They aren't afraid to go out, get a little cold or get a little real hot, or scuff themselves up on a stone, or you know, maybe get a little cut here and there, or man, maybe that next 5 feet you don't know if you're going to make it, and you just give one blood curdling scream and you're there, and you made it through another day. And you made it through another workout. And man, oh man, things are happening now. Things are happening in your head that you never thought before. And I said this to Jake, too, and I've said this to a lot of other people, Andrew. We've had many of them on. A lot of them write self-motivating books. A lot of books about, you know, the mental area and all that. I'll say it till the day I can't speak anymore. And I want to see what you say to this. And I don't know if we've ever talked about this, and we might have, but I'm telling you right now, ladies and gents, if you got the tenacity, if you've got the wherewithal, and the men, if you have the balls, and I mean between your legs, start training by yourself. And I don't mean going out and just, you know, bench presses and barbell curls. I'm talking about getting nitty gritty mean. I'm talking about going after a dream, a possibility that you could never, ever fathom in your mind, but yet there's this magnetic pull to take you to where you got to go. You start learning how to do things of that nature, and I know not everybody's cut out for it. I know that. Not everybody can train by themselves. Not everybody can be a self-motivator like that. You know, there's people, they want you to load one side of the bar. You ought to come here and watch me. I got to do everything. If it's moving equipment out, if it's raining that night, got to cover it. It doesn't matter. I made that choice. I did this for a number of reasons, and we all got kicked out of the commercial gym we were in, which at one time was probably one of the hardest core gyms I've ever been in. But when new people come in, they want things where these guys are too scary. We got to get rid of them. Well, shortly after they got rid of us, the whole place folded up. So it was their lack of leadership. But what I'm trying to tell everyone in a polite way, if you've got the balls, gentlemen, start training on your own. Start going after a big thing. Maybe you want to go for a big press overhead. Maybe you want to go to Iceland and lift a stone. Maybe you want to do, not only, you know, you see Andrew with the one-arm lifts and everything else he's involved in, but this guy goes and does other things. He puts himself out in places where I don't know if I'd even do it. I think I would do it because the attraction to that dangerous stuff I love. But most people aren't cut out to even do that because why? You've never been a self-motivator. Everything's going to be a struggle, and I don't mean struggle in a good way. You're constantly going to be second-guessing. You're constantly going to – you're not going to have the confidence to do it. And third of all, I'll be honest with you, I'll help anybody, I'll take anybody anywhere, but you really don't want a piece of dead wood attached to you. It really kills everything. So take it away. Anything you agree, disagree, lay it out, brother.
You touched on a lot of good points that I 100% agree with, and it is that when you're by yourself, you have to have that self-motivation. You have to be willing by yourself to be uncomfortable.
Yep.
To get outside of that comfort zone, whether that comfort zone is an extra 5 pounds on the bar, an extra rep under the bar, when you don't have a spotter and it is truly all you.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, it's not the all you man on the bench where the other guy's doing a deadlift and you're underneath it. No, it is 100% all you on that lift.
Yep.
Each and every time. And whether you're under a bar or on top of a mountain and 70 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
Five, it's on you. And that is something that I think a lot of champions excel at, is we enjoy getting outside our comfort zone.
Yep.
Call it what you want, but yeah, I don't call it an adventure unless there's a chance I might not come home.
Exactly.
Adventure starts when everything else goes wrong.
Yep.
Like, otherwise, it's just a walk in the park. And it's the same thing with lifting and training. If you want to be the best, you got to be willing to push outside the bounds of comfort, of nice and easy. Jake's not front squatting over 500. I just saw he did a video of 475 for
yep.
three.
Yep.
And it's like, he's not doing that because he wants to be comfortable.
No.
He's doing that because he wants to be the best, and he understands that to be the best, you got to push well beyond comfort into that kind of, I'm either going to have success or something may go horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into those kind of weights, you're willing to take that I call it risk, but it's not really risk because we are so much more calculating with these risks.
Yeah.
Sure, if you just pull somebody off the street and they watch what any of us did, they would say, oh, that's very risky. I'm like, but the years built into calculating the percentages and the experience built with lifting the stones over the time and going out into the wilderness, it accumulates. And that hardens your knowledge and it hardens your resilience to the lifts, to the environment, to what you're doing, to the point where, yeah, at times it seems easy when you do it.
Well, you know what I think too, Andrew, seriously? I think after you put yourself through a number of these trials and you are successful with it, it's just like putting your one pants leg on at a time, because it becomes a part of you. It becomes a natural to you. Now, most people aren't going to understand that, but I'm going to explain it as easily as I can. I've said this before. I believe lifters, and it could be everybody for that matter, inherently it's in our DNA. Whether you're, and I know friends of mine that are great lifters, neither parent ever touched a weight in their life, okay? Number one. Number two, I've said this now in the last half dozen shows, and this is just a discovery I came up with in my own head. What sets this mechanism off in you? And I've said this, and I'll keep saying it because I love the responses I get. My brother Jimmy, everybody knows who is the guy this whole organization is built from, because of all he went through with muscular dystrophy and died from it. Because I'll tell you something right now, I admire an awful lot of people. I admire everybody on this show. Everybody on this show to me is my family. But I watched a guy, granted he had exceptional care via my father and mother, and how much we loved them and all the people that were over here, having a big family. We had tons of friends. This house was like a zoo at times. But I'll tell you this, I love the big deadlifts, the big presses, the big stone lifts, all that stuff. But you know something? You'd have to be here to see it. I watched my brother struggle every day of his life. But yet, at the end of the day, whatever had to be done, whether he needed help or not, it got done. And I was telling a couple people, I was even telling Jake this morning, that my mother's been going through a lot of pictures, and I've got a picture of Jimmy. I think I'm staring at him right now. It was probably in his prime before he started going down. He's in the wheelchair and all that. But my brother is a beautiful brother, and this it's all it, we're putting it all up on the Fiorella Barbell Company. He's called the Unsung Hero. And when we talk about heroes, that guy's a hero, man. That guy showed that no matter what was going on with him, he persevered. Eventually, pneumonia got him and killed him. But we knew that Jimmy wasn't going to have a long life. And then secondly, I was so frightened of MD, I saw my first comic book of The Incredible Hulk. And I put it together where if I can be as strong as the Hulk, MD or any nothing could ever get me. And that's what set me off. And that's what I'm going to say to you right now, Andrew. We have, I don't care if you're a couch potato or not, and I'm talking men. It could be buried 100 million feet deep in your soul. But we all have something, a trigger in us that sets us off. I don't believe none of us don't ever want to be physical. They don't have to go up in the mountains. They don't have to go lift stones. They don't have to press overhead. They don't have to deadlift 1150. It doesn't matter. But everybody's got something. What do you think, in your case, if it pertains, obviously, and I think it does? What set you off, do you think?
Yeah, no, I know exactly, you know, that point in time.
Okay.
You know, I was, you know, I guess a multi-pronged approach, I guess, is where it comes in from for myself as to what motivated me to be where I am now.
Yep.
One, growing up where I did, my best friend growing up, Jim Belzik, was a grade year older than me when we started Cub Scouts. This is in second grade.
Yep.
I was in second grade. He was in third grade.
Yep.
He had an older brother that was two grades above him.
Yep.
So he's in third grade. His older brother's in fifth grade. Well, we're all buddies. We're all hanging out. At that age, I did not understand the physiological differences between.
Oh, yeah.
A second grader,
yeah,
and a fifth grader.
Yep.
But what I did know was we're friends. So I'm going to hang out with these guys. This is what we're going to do. Well, eventually, you know, Jeff went to high school and started playing football.
Yep.
So they went to the weight room. And while I'm hanging out with my friends, we're going to go to the weight room. And at that time, it's in the weight room was their basement.
Yep.
Where they had, you know, an old bench and some sand filled weights.
Yep.
And everything. And we'd start to lift. Well, you know, we get down there for the bench press and, you know, they unrack the bar, comes down and nothing happens. They're like, push. And I'm like, I am. Nothing's happening. And in to me, it was the most demoralized. It was just
Oh
my God, you know,
yep.
I can't do this with my friends. I need to do something. I'm going home. I'm like, I need weights. I need to do, you know,
yeah.
I keep up
yep.
with my friends. Not, I don't know and I don't understand the 3-4 years difference at that age is, you know, it's a lifetime practice.
Sure, yep.
And so my parents are like, no, like, you know, you don't need weights. We'll get you some light dumbbells.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, what can I, so I'm just like, you know, this is before the internet. So I'm like, all right, well, I calling up my uncle and he's like, you know, run your sprints and you can do pushups and sit ups. So guess what? I started running sprints.
Yep.
The house on the outside and I'm doing pushups and sit ups in the basement and, you know, as long as I could be. And then we get to high school. I start lifting. And then we went to different high schools. So I'd lift after school at my high school, get home. My buddies would call me up, hey,
yeah.
We just got done with our homework. Let's go lift.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm lifting multiple times a day because I'm in my head, I'm still trying to play catch up.
Sure.
I was impressioned at that younger age going, man, I am behind.
Yep.
I need to catch up. And so I just kept hitting the weights and kept doing more push-ups. And, you know, I remember having two folding chairs that I would turn around and I could do dips on the backs of the folding chairs
yep.
in my basement. and I could do push-ups and I could do sit-ups, and then I discovered, oh, here's this the center I-beam in my basement, because I didn't have a pull-up bar. Well, that's close enough. So I would hang from the I-beam ledge,
yep,
and start to do pull-ups in the basement, because that was a way I could work my back. And so that, and then I was like, well, I don't have a bar, so I can't do squats or a leg press machine. I was like, well, but I can do lunges.
Yeah.
Cause that I would isolate my one leg more than the other. And so I was doing lunges, and it was all around trying to catch up.
Yep.
At that young age. And then, end of junior year of high school, ended up getting mono, and ended up coming down that I've got, blood disorder with chronic low platelet levels.
Yep.
And hereditary from my dad's side. And I was playing ice hockey at this time, and this was, I was big into hockey. And doc comes in, it's after a few day hospital stay, and doc's like, listen, if you keep playing hockey, it could kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You could take a big hit, you'll have a brain hemorrhage, and you'll die.
Yep.
On the ice. So, I'm a 16, 17 year old kid at this time. Talk about at the time,
yeah,
what feels like the most devastating news in the world.
Yep.
And it was, being 16, 17, be told that you could die from a collision.
Sure.
Scares you a bit. So pretty much from that day on, I've dedicated my life to becoming as strong as humanly possible, so nothing could take me down.
I agree. Yep.
And so when you say you're looking for a trigger to what is going to trigger somebody to go outside of the realms of normal,
mm-hmm,
to push beyond, for me, it started when I was younger, always trying to catch up,
mm-hmm,
with peers that were older than me and naturally stronger.
Yep.
And then right as I was catching up and going beyond all of them,
yep,
another trigger comes in and says, no, you can't. Something could happen, which reinforces everything that I was doing the previous, 4 or 5
sure
years.
Yep.
That says you need to now take it to a whole nother level, so that nothing can hurt you.
I agree. Hey, go ahead.
Couple world records and traveling, yep, the world lifting weights later, here I sit on your podcast saying, you want motivation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to be scared. Death is a pretty good motivator.
Yes.
So let's go out there and get after it and make yourself into Superman.
Yeah. Well, and isn't it amazing, though, that, I say this all the time. We're talking about two different stories, but very similar in nature, where the both of us said we have to be basically inhumanly strong, because yes, you have something that very well could kill you with a collision, and obviously you wanted to catch up to the bigger guys. It motivated you. It self-motivated you. And the same thing with me. I was so frightened as a little boy of 10 years old that I could get this disease. And it's nothing against Jimmy. I didn't understand it, man. I didn't know what was going on. And my parents are explaining, and your parents love you. They're telling you. And I think now, that had to be killing them every time I was asking them this stuff. And they never got upset with me or anything, but that was the main trigger. But when you see something like a 13-foot human being or whatever they call them, the gamma guy you could hit him with anything, man. I mean, you could shoot a tank friggin' missile at him, and it wouldn't even hurt him. I mean, what kid that is seeing stuff like this or being told something that wouldn't just gravitate right to that? Why? Because I don't care who you are, everybody wants to live. I don't buy into it that anybody wants to die or kill themselves. I don't know why they do what they do, but my God, man, the worst day of your life, you never want to do. At least I never think of that stuff. And, This is what I like about shows like this, man. It's like these stories that you and I are both talking about right now, someone's going to listen to this, I know, and it might be multiple people that have been struggling like crazy, and I got news for you, my brother. We might just save somebody's life here.
Hey, I hope so. I mean, that, like I said, I look at it as, yeah, I mean, the weights and physical culture and all things physical culture, because like I said, I've gone with the heavy lifts,
yep,
and the odd objects.
Yep.
And then I've also gone to the ultra endurance,
yep,
extreme as well.
Yep.
And dabbled in both, on both sides of the coin, and said, you know, it's out there to motivate you to be better.
Yep.
To make yourself the best being that you can be.
Yep, I agree.
And that is what we are trying to do.
Yep.
And yeah, if you're scared, take that scared. You know, if you, like you said, nobody wants to die.
Right.
Everybody wants to live. And so, you know, take that ultimate fear of death.
Yep.
And put it to something that you can at least tangibly work at.
Yep. Put it on its head, man. That's what you got to do.
And that's what we do. I mean, yep, you did the same thing. You saw it in your brother.
Yep.
And said, man, I'm at a young age. Here's my brother, and here's the Hulk.
Yep.
I'm rolling with the Hulk, man.
Yep.
Like, I love my brother. I need to become the Hulk.
Yep.
So that a tank can shoot me.
Yep.
And nothing can hurt me.
Exactly.
And you know, I did very much the same. It was, you know, visualizations beyond belief of every time I lifted that weight.
Yep.
You know, that was adding another layer of protection.
Yes.
On my body.
Absolutely.
If I could go harder, longer, stronger than anybody else out there, that was adding layers of protection to myself.
You got that right.
And that's all we can do.
Yep.
Is get up every day, add another layer of protection to our own body, and move forward.
I agree. Unfortunately, I know you've got a client coming in. I could talk another hour with you on this.
Absolutely.
This is the stuff, brother. Give out all your information. Anything, yep, that's going on, let me give mine out. Just hang on the line while we say goodbye to everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. Find me Facebook, Andrew Durniat, Durniat. Also on Instagram and Twitter at @DS_outside. It's sort of Durniat strength outside, because I do get outside, not just an indoor animal. We're, mm-hmm, outside everywhere. Website, DurniatStrength.com. And we are in Worcester, Ohio. Definitely, if you're ever in the area, stop on in, see us. Actually got somebody, the Sorenex crew.
Cool.
Let me know. They were up at the Cleveland Cavs game last night, so they're coming down. And
nice.
We're doing some lifting and grabbing some grub here shortly. So
awesome.
The bed and barbell is always open to anyone in the area. Come on in, and we'll get it done.
Awesome. All right, this is Motivation Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. You know the deal. Go out and download the 2 free ebooks. Just leave us your email address. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said in the beginning, just go out and look at the shows Andrew and I have done over the last year. As I said to his buddy Jake, and I always say to Andrew, 28 more years, man. And I mean, it would be incredible to hear these guys with myself 28 years. I can't even think about that. My God. But, you know, that's what we want to do here. This is family. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got, and we thank you for that. Also, too, we're on AHA. AHA is the name. It's a directory. The new cars, and you can get aftermarket radios. Now you can get podcasting in your car. Listen to us 24/7, 7 days a week. I guarantee you, it'll feel like you got up on the right side of the bed every day. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Andrew and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com. And I'm going to leave you with multiple things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life, believe me. And I know today we're going to get a bunch. I can't wait to hear, too. Also, too, as my mom said when we were kids, Never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, push it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. And we'll say that to the very last broadcast we do, brother. Also, Frank Klein, my greatest college professor, all through business. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor, for years, and was like a father figure to me because my father had passed away long before I met John, and John has left us almost 3 years ago. He would say to every patient, he would walk out to the door, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself on your best or worst day. I'm smiling ear to ear right now, and it's a great thing, and John would be very proud that I'm continuing that legacy. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through it. Join our family. Join our revolution and be part of something that really matters. Also, too, as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you, but we'll take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And not many people would do that nowadays, but there isn't anybody here that isn't. We're not like all the others. We stretch, and we want more out of life. Andrew, what can I say? This I always say this, but this was probably the best podcast I've ever done with you, mainly because, especially at the end, when we talked about what is that trigger in you? And I hope a lot of people start thinking about it if they haven't discovered it. So thanks for being on, brother.
Absolutely, man. Always a pleasure.
Same here. Okay, everybody, we're going to have Andrew on within. He'll be on in May because that's probably when a lot of people are going to be coming on while we release all the new products. So for Andrew Derniat, this is Eric Fiorello. Like I said, we'll be on. I'm going to get this show up as fast as I can. We're back about 10 shows right now, so I'm moving one or two a day, which is a lot of work right now, but I want to get them as current as I can. So we'll talk to you soon. Think about those triggers, and thanks for listening, everybody, and go out and do something better than everybody else. We will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.